So, since they backed away from that as a result of Calvin's arguments, I'm sorry, of Plantinga's arguments, skeptics have moved to more modest, nuanced arguments. Christensen tells us that question the probability of God's existence based on other aspects of the problem, right? And so you introduced this section by saying, you know, these are different problems of evil. So these other aspects fall largely under what is called the evidential problem of evil, right?
Right. So philosophers who argue against God in this fashion no longer question the coexistence of God and evil per se, conceding the arguments of Plantinga and others. So this kind of like, well, you either have to take away a kind of the human responsibility or the perception of some sort of free will capacity in humans, whether it be soft determinism or just what's called libertarian free will. Or you have to take hard determinism and say that kind of no one's responsible for their actions whatsoever. And so, well, what is evil? Evil is just kind of the mechanical workings of the universe that happen, and we are predetermined to have bad feelings towards certain actions. But instead, they suggest that there's tremendous quantities of evil in the world, and it's horrendous. The therefore gratuitous nature of some evils indicate the improbability of God's existence. So, okay, let's grant for the sake of argument that kind of God exists, but there's a lot of evil. And not only is there a lot of evil, the quality of evil is high. So there, it's just some of the worst things that you could possibly think of, we've done.
Right.
You know, we've attempted to eradicate large groups of people. We've engaged in brutal infanticides. We've nuked the planet a couple times, more than once. We've done it with the hopes that we weren't going to burn up the atmosphere. We're just crossing our fingers in that case. Pollution or, different forms of just kind of the worst ones possible. And you go, okay, try and think of something that humanity wouldn't do. I'm sure you could find it somewhere in our 10,000 plus years of history, plus or minus. So in the vast amount of evil, it is suggested that there may be legitimate reasons for some evil, but pervasive evil everywhere we turn, well, this seems to count against the Christian God.
Right.
What's he doing? He just seems all this evil's in the world and nothing seems to be done.
Right, right. So this is called the evidential problem of evil, right? Finally, there is the existential or emotional problem of evil, right? Sometimes called the personal or religious problem. This is where evil directly intersects our own lives, where it claws at our tender hearts, Christensen tells us, and leaves wounds that never seem to heal. It's where we all become like a destitute Job or a desperate David, right, fleeing from his mortal enemy Saul. It is where we wonder, together with Elie Wiesel, where is he? Is God hanging from the gallows, or has he retreated into eternal silence, to leave our tormented souls to hang and writhe in mortal agony alone, right? Rational arguments, notice, and rational answers do not satisfy with this particular problem of evil, right? Because of the emotion, the raw emotion that it causes, and how in our face it is, right? Just a rational argument says, well, I got a good rational argument, a logical argument for why God and evil can exist. That doesn't make it with this kind of evil, right?
Right. I mean, how many times have you been talking with someone and they give you a personal experience?
Yeah.
Now, just because someone has an anecdotal evidence doesn't, prove the rule. It may be the exception. But overall, if you've lived life for any sort of amount of time, you've experienced some sort of hardship, pain, suffering, loss, something bad happening to you. And so you can relate to it. And so like when we were talking to Dr. Anderson about kind of some of his favorite ideas for putting forth proving the existence of God, well, he goes on the opposite end and says morality, because so many people have this type of emotional charge to it. It to say that there's no such thing as anything that's moral kind of eats at our heart. And mm-hmm. so, again, the Christian worldview speaks to that, saying we're all made in the image of God. And so we kind of have that shared capacity for understanding morality because it speaks to the shared qualities that God has shared with us as a special creation. But here on the opposite end, well, we all share in the capacity to experience evil because of the fall or because God allows it to happen, and he just doesn't seem to care within this type of emotional argumentation.
Yeah.